It's Saturday morning and time for the Coach's Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coach's Show. It's Class 5 sectional track and field today at Carthage for Jefferson City and for Capital City. And joining us is Capital City Cavaliers and Lady Cavaliers track and field coach Scott Geschwinder. And it's been an early morning already for you, hasn't it, Coach?
Oh, it sure was. It sure has been. It got on the bus at 5:30 and we are now on I-44 heading to Carthage.
You will be in Carthage, as you mentioned, and you'll be competing in good schools from places such as Branson, Carthage, Joplin, Neosho, Nixa, Ozark, and Republic. Have you seen those teams this year?
Yeah, we have. We have once. We went down to Springfield, the girls' night out, into the Hillcrest Relay. So we have seen these teams before.
You know, it's the final step before the state championships. It's the most difficult step, isn't it?
Yeah, it's getting there. We'll see how the kids respond. We did all right last week, and it looks like we're going to have the same type of weather we did last week, and our kids performed well. And we've gotten them ready physically, and it's their job to get themselves ready mentally and emotionally, and we'll see how we go.
What do you know so far as what the weather is expected to be in Carthage today for the track and field events?
Well, right now it's raining.
It's raining here, too.
Just got past Lebanon, but it looks like it's supposed to rain a little bit, and then it's supposed to stop, and then it looks like a little bit later in the day it's supposed to rain a little bit more. So who knows? You know what's Missouri weather. It could rain all day, or it could stop and get sunny, but we'll be ready for the challenge however it goes.
You know, and the bus ride, too, gives your track and field participants an opportunity to kind of relax and get focused, doesn't it?
Yeah, we have about half our team drove down with their parents last night to stay the night. So hopefully they got a lot of rest down there. And the rest of our team is on the bus sleeping right now. So hopefully that gets them mentally prepared.
You mentioned this just a moment ago, but it was a good districts last week for both the boys and girls teams, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were pretty pleased with our performances. A lot of our kids either met their seed or they performed past their seed, and we got most of what we needed to move on. And we had some surprises this time. Looks like we have 13 boy events going and 12 girl events going. We were pretty pleased with our performance.
Let's break it down. We're having a little trouble here with you as far as the reception is concerned, but let's talk about the Lady Cavaliers. First of all, last week in district, second in the team standings, and I think you had 7 individual winners, right?
Yeah. We had Kara Strayhorn. She won all of her events, which we were hoping would happen. We also had Shayla Stewart in the discus. I think Kennedy Shaunas might have won in the javelin. But Anastasia Koopman won in the pole vault. So, we had kids that performed well, and we were pretty happy with that.
Yeah, you take a look at it, and you split it between the field events and the track events, and you did, as you mentioned, very well in the field events, didn't you?
Yeah, we have a strong throwing group with our girls team and our boys. And that's shout out to Coach Lukanoff and Coach Finley for their job and our throws. We're pretty spread out across the board when it comes to most of our events. Our girls' sprints are a little down, and our boys' jumps are a little down, but besides that, we're pretty spread out.
You mentioned Strayhorn just a few moments ago. She's had a great year for you, hasn't she?
She's done very well. Most of the time we go to meet, she scores 40 points for us. And there has been a couple times where she has gotten beat, which is helpful at times because, you know, she knows it just creates her to work harder. She knows that there's always, when you're one of the best out there, there's always someone, you know, out there trying to get in. And she's responded well and understood that, you know, even if she does get beat in one event, that's not the end of the world. She's got 3 others to win. Seems like she's done that up most of the year.
You know, as you mentioned, last week in districts, I believe she was first in the high jump, first in the long jump, and then also first in the 100-meter hurdles and the 300-meter hurdles. with sectionals being a one-day event and the state championships this year being a one-day event, she will be very busy, won't she?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why we've ran her in these four events all year long, and there's been times when she's had to run the 300 hurdles and then turn around and high jump. And just last week, she was in the middle of high jump and long jump while she was running the 300 hurdles. And that's why we've done it all year, just for times like this where, you know, we don't have a choice of pulling her out and saying, oh, let's just pull you out of the 300 so you can focus on this. We went ahead all year and ran her in all four of those events just in case something like last week would have happened. She was shot as well.
And, Coach, in the track events, I think the Lady Cavaliers qualified in the 4x800, the 400-meter run, the 800-meter run, and the 3,200-meter run, correct?
That's right, yep. Coach Holstrom, our head cross-country coach, does a great job with our distance crew, and he got both 4x8s out and quite a few, you know, with the 32 and the 800. So, and we're happy with that.
As we mentioned, a very good week last week in districts for the Lady Cavaliers. Very good week as well for the boys' team as you finished second in the district to Waynesville, who ended up winning the district title. And you had a number of individuals as well as teams make it through to the sectionals today on the boys' side, didn't you?
Yeah, we were happy with our boys. We knew Waynesville was going to be tough. There had to have been a lot to happen for us to get them. They had a lot of speed, and they have a lot of jumps going on. But, you know, our boys performed well on most of the, you know, most events. I mean, our throws did very well. All of our boys' relays got out. We're just down a little bit in our jumps right now. And a lot, some of these technical events, like our jumps, you know, we're just young. Just young, and it's tough when you're going against guys that have done it for so long. And we haven't with the jumps part of it. But pretty happy with our boys' hurdles, relays. Yeah.
Yeah, five first-place finishes for you in districts last week for the boys.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they've done a great job. Pretty happy with what they've accomplished, and we're hopefully we'll see what happens. We've got Connor Hall, won the 400-meter dash, did a great job. We actually had another kid make it through as well. T.J. Dyer won the 300 hurdle. So we've got some, you know, and some of our throwers. I don't know which one Sam won, but I know Sam won one of the shot or the disc, one of those two. So pretty happy with how our guys responded. They've grinded out all year, and we're pretty pleased.
Wanted to ask you this. As far as the team scores were concerned last week in districts, the boys had 139 points. The girls had 138.5. A little competition between the two?
You know, no one's even said anything, and I didn't even notice that. So, no, there really isn't. You know, they're kind of all one team, and we practice together. And I have not heard anything about, you know, who scored the most points. So, when you bring that up,
you know, no track and field last year due to the pandemic. So, this has been your first year on the varsity level. It's been a highly successful year, hasn't it?
Yeah, we're pretty happy, and I've told the kids, you know, I've heard a lot that, you know, well, hey, this is your first year and you don't have seniors. And, you know, as I've talked to my kids about it, it's like, you know, well, we're competing against people that do have four classes, so we need to compete like that. But when you do look at it, you know, the last time our seniors stepped foot on the track, they were freshmen. Mm-hmm. And the last time our freshmen stepped foot on the track, they were seventh graders. So, yeah, we're pretty pleased with, you know, how far we've come from the beginning of the year to where we're at right now. And we'll be ready to go next year after this, you know, having at least 1 year under our belt.
Long trip today to Carthage for the sectionals. The hope is that there will be a lot that will win in sectionals or qualify for the state championships, because it's in your backyard next week on Thursday, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it is, and we've competed there a couple times, and our kids actually run well over there, and hopefully, you know, we've got some kids that should get through. We have some kids that are ranked 8, and we have some kids right there in the middle. So I think it's just going to come down to who can compete the best, and hopefully we get a lot more of those in the middles through.
You know, one of the interesting things, too, about the track and field championships this year, it used to be in the past, and I don't know if they'll go back to this next year and as we move forward, but it was a two-day event, and now this year it is a one-day event. As we mentioned, the Class 5 state championships will take place next Thursday at Atkins Stadium, but it's a different look, isn't it?
Yeah, this has been, they did it when the tornado hit a couple of years ago.
Right.
It was like that as well. Like you said, you know, that's a good question. I don't know if they're going to go back to doing the two-day meets or not, but there has been talk about them, putting another class in too, a next class. So I don't know. There's a lot that Misha has to think about, and I'm sure they're going to talk about that, whether or not they want to do, you know, can keep it one day or you know, go back to the way they used to do it.
Coach, we know you're busy. You're on your way to Carthage for the sectionals. Appreciate your time this morning. Good luck today.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Capital City Cavaliers, Lady Cavaliers, track and field coach Scott Gishwinder. Again, Class 5 sectionals for the Capital City Cavaliers, Lady Cavaliers, Jefferson City Jays, and Lady Jays down in Carthage. Those that advance from the sectionals to the state championships for Class 5, it'll be next Thursday all day at Atkins Stadium here in Jefferson City. Back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
Time for another car care tip from the pros at Professional Automotive Service in Jefferson City. Your vehicle's check engine light comes on for a reason. You tend to ignore it, or maybe you even went so far as to buy one of those scanners they sell online, but you have no idea what the code means. Or maybe you just disconnected your battery to clear the code. So the check engine light went away, but the problem still exists. This is an important way your car can communicate problems. There are literally hundreds of different codes a check engine light can represent. Time to make an appointment with the pros at Professional Automotive. They understand the importance of proper maintenance of your vehicle and are committed to providing the very best service around. Their technician can plug in and read your code to determine what's going on with your engine, emissions controls, or other components. They can service all makes and models of both foreign and domestic vehicles, and all their repairs come with one of the best warranties in the area, a 3-year, 36,000-mile standard warranty. Trust the pros at Professional Automotive Service in Jefferson City or Hillside Automotive in O'Fallon. Find them on Facebook.
The Helias Foundation would like to express their continued thanks to their corporate crusaders for their continued loyalty and support of Helias Catholic High School and Helias Foundation, American Family Insurance, Greg Cobb Agency, Capital Region Medical Center, Central Bank, Coca-Cola Bottling Company, DeLong's and Diamond Pet Foods, Farmer Holding Company, Freeman Mortuary, Hawthorne Bank and Huber & Associates, Jefferson Bank, Quick Car, Riley Chevrolet Toyota, Tweehouse Excavating, and Winter Dent. They also want to extend their warmest gratitude to alumni, local businesses, the area community, and friends of Helias.
Hi, I'm Jeff DeLong, owner of Custom Screen Printing and Embroidery. We want to make your company stand out. We have two people on staff dedicated to the artwork and the graphic design. Even our salespeople have creative backgrounds. Even our production people have a creative background. How can we make this look better? How can we make it stand out? We just want to do a good job. We just want to provide the customer with what it is they need to make their company stand out. And in return, that makes us stand out. Find us on the web at customscreen-emb.com.
March of 2020, my neighborhood got rocked by that hailstorm that most of central Missouri experienced. I remember thinking, I've never heard hail hit this roof so hard. And the next morning, my husband and I, we kind of glanced up there and thought, well, I mean, it looks okay to us. But then I started thinking, what if there's damage that I really can't see? And maybe we don't really know what we're looking for. My husband said to call Hodges Roofing and Siding. Greg was awesome. He got up on our roof, he looked around, he took pictures. Before he left that afternoon, we had a game plan, and I liked that. We went over different options, and we ended up doing just a couple of upgrades, but we knew exactly how much that was going to cost us. My name is Aaron, and we would highly recommend using Hodges Roofing and Siding.
This is the Gray Panther, Greg A. Hodges, keeping friends and family safe under higher quality roof systems since 1976.
Hodges Roofing and Siding, home of the Gray Panther. Call 573-ROOFING or send a signal to HodgesMo.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. Helias Crusaders and Lady Crusaders track and field coach Phil Pitch joins us now on the Coaches Show, headed to Camdenton for the sectionals today. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you doing today?
Not on the bus yet, huh?
No, we don't. The first race is until 11:30 this morning, so we don't have to leave until a little bit later this morning, so the kids are getting to sleep in a little bit.
So what are you expecting weather-wise in Camden today?
The last I just checked it not too long ago, and I think we're going to get a little bit of rain early this morning, but it looks like it should be out of there by the time the meet starts. So I think we should have overcast skies and some pretty nice temperatures, but I think the rain will be out of there by the time the meet starts.
Yeah, if the rain leaves, the temperatures are pretty good for track and field, isn't it?
They really are. Like I said, there's a fine line there. You want there with, you know, your sprinters. They like the weather warmer. Your distance runners, they like it a little cooler. And I think we're going to have some overcast skies, and it's going to be a perfect day today.
All right, tell me about the year for the track and field teams. It's been a good year over at Helias, hasn't it?
It really has. It's been like I said, a lot of great performances by a lot of kids, but overall, I said just getting the fact that we get to have a spring season, get to have a track season, I think all of those things have been a true blessing, and it's been a lot of fun for a lot of people, and we got to host our very first meet this year, so that was cool, getting to host a track meet at Hinchers Stadium. So a lot of really good things happening this year, and it's been a good season.
You know, it's a situation too, as you mentioned just a moment ago, even if you didn't win an event all season long, it's a success because you couldn't participate last year due to the pandemic.
That's true, and like I said, every day we get to come to track practice, or every day we get to have a meet, or every workout a little bit harder, every early morning in the weight room, all of that stuff has just been so worth it, because we just remember that, you know, what it was like a year ago and not getting to have all of those things. And the kids have really embraced it this year. They've enjoyed it. Well, I've enjoyed it. Our coaching staff has enjoyed it. It's been a fun season for a lot of reasons, but like the main one is because we got to have a season.
You were in districts at Union last week. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Sectionals will have some of the schools from the southwest part of the state, Bolivar, Monette, Nevada, Webb City, Willard. Some of the schools will be participating with Helias down in the sectionals that will take place in Camdenton. Have you had an opportunity to see any of those teams this year?
We haven't got a chance to compete against them, but one of the cool things about track and field is that everything is tracked online. MoMile Split carries everybody's times and everybody's results, and you can get on there and you can kind of really pay attention to these teams and see what they're doing and see what their kids are running, see what you're going to have to run to the, you know, in the meet to be successful. So while we haven't had a chance to compete against any of those schools, we've been following them ever since the sectional assignments came out, and we knew who would be competing against and paying attention to what their times were. And I feel like we competed against them, even though we haven't seen them at track meet.
It's so much different now than it was years ago when football coaches had a meet at a neutral site and exchange films from a Friday night football game, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I said everything is, you know, the internet is a wonderful tool, and it's provided a lot less trips for football coaches, for track coaches, for everybody, and everybody getting to track each other and pay attention to each other. And like I said, you feel like you've competed against all of these schools, even though you haven't actually got a chance to see them at track meet.
Sectionals is the final step before the state championships. It's the most difficult step, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, you're competing against the four winners from your district, the four winners from another district. So you're talking about eight competitors who have won and been successful and moved on to this level. And it's going to be a fun day, but it's going to be a challenging day for our kids. And we talked about that all week. And I talked to them just last night about envisioning their times, envisioning their races, envisioning their marks and their field events, and just seeing themselves be successful, because I think that's going to be key today. But like you said, we've got a tough sectional, and it's going to be a tough day for us, but it's going to be a fun day, and it's going to make it all the much better when you finish in the top four and get to move on to state.
In a bus traveling to Camdenton today gives the participants an opportunity to relax a little bit and focus.
It really does. And one of the blessings that we have is we've competed at Camdenton this year. We had a track meet there earlier in the year. So their surroundings won't be new to them. There might be more people or more schools or more teams or better athletes, you know, at the meet today, but they're used to it. They started focusing last night. They'll get a chance to focus on the bus ride, and this will be a place that they've got a chance to compete before. So nothing should throw them for a loop today, and I think that's going to lead to us being even more successful.
Spend a moment talking about districts. Good districts for the Crusaders boys track and field teams last week.
It was. Like I said, we had a good – our distance runners did a really good job. We got quite a few of them, you know, going on to sectionals, and our pole vaulter. We had a discus thrower, a high jumper, so we got out to field events too. And like I said, we're trying to build a program here and get it to where you know, days like last Saturday are normal for us. And but let's say it was a really, really good day for us on the boys' side. Feel good about our chances today. Everybody that got out of the district has a chance to get out of the sectional. So we're looking forward to that.
Spend a moment. Tell me about your pole vaulter who keeps breaking school records.
I said the best thing about Dom is, one, he's a tremendous athlete, and that's fun and exciting, but he is just a better person. And I know coaches say that about these kids all the time, but he's somebody that everybody roots for. He's somebody that you want to see be successful because he just does everything the right way. And he's a good kid. He works hard. He's a great athlete. And I, you know, he set some goals for himself to be a district champ, be a sectional champ, and then finish this thing off, you know, next week with being a state champ. So next step is today, and I think he's going to have a chance to be really good.
Are there a lot of pole vaulters in the state?
It's one
it's
of
a growing events. Sport, isn't it?
It is. And it's one of those events where it's not as many as in some of the other ones, but we got a tough sectional today. You know, the five best pole vaulters in class four are all in our sectional.
Wow.
Somebody's getting left home. You know, one of those five are not going to be able to go jump at state. So it's going to be a fun event to watch. So like I said, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on the class four pole vault today just because it's kind of cool to watch those guys jump 14, 15 feet in the air. We're going to have a whole bunch of them today.
How about the Lady Crusaders at districts last week?
I couldn't be more proud of those girls. Like I said, we don't have a lot of girls out for track. We only had 23 girls out for track, but the ones that we have are just competing and getting better every day. And we got a lot of girls through through the district, and I think we're going to have a lot of girls go to state. And the Micah Edwards is the one that, you know, and Skylar Phillips are the two that probably grab the most attention just because they're in so many events. And we've got so many girls who are just working hard every day, and I'm really proud of them.
You mentioned Micah Edwards. She had a great district, didn't she?
She really did. Like I said, she's got in four events and qualified in for sectional in all four events, and I think she's got a chance to get out of the sectional today in all four of them. So like I said, she's just a special athlete that when she's on the line, she's not going to get beat. She just kind of has that competitive fire, that drive to where when she is in a race and, you know, she sees the competitors right next to her, she kind of knows she's got them. And I'm really looking forward to watching her run today.
Quick question before we have to take the break. Is the mindset today that you need your personal best to get to state?
I think that way, Kevin, is in athletics all the time. When it's the postseason, when it's your big meets, you need to perform your best. And you need to put that mark out there. And if you do that, then you let the chips fall where they may. And I think we talked about that. We made a race plan for every one of our athletes last night, told them what they needed to try to get done today. And in every instance, we're going to need a personal best today. And if you do that, I think our chances are really good.
I know you're busy. Appreciate your time this morning. Good luck today in Camdenton.
Thanks, Kevin. Always a pleasure.
Elias Crusaders, Lady Crusaders track and field coach Phil Pitts. Again, down in Camdenton, it's the Class 4 sectionals for the Elias Crusaders and Lady Crusaders. By the way, the state championships in Class 4 will be next Friday at Atkins Stadium here in Jefferson City. Blair Oaks track and field sectionals, Class 3 today at Montgomery County. Calvary Lutheran participating in the Class 1 state championships that start today at 10 o'clock at Atkins Stadium. Back with more after the break.
Let me tell you from my perspective, here's the problem.
To speak softly.
For the Democrat Party, which has now been hijacked by the radical extreme left.
And carry a big stick.
The Constitution is a problem.
Just ain't his style.
It's not to be revered, it's to be eviscerated.
Mark Levin.
Because they hate the Constitution. The Constitution places a severe limit on the kind of power and grandiosity that the Democrat Party wishes to exercise.
Mark Levin, weeknights at 7 on News Radio, KWOS.
Hi, this is Tanner Kemna. At Kemna Collision Repair, we have made our customers our number one priority. And now, you have returned the favor by making us number one. Our team is honored to have been voted Jefferson City's Best Auto Body Repair Shop in the Reader's Choice Awards. Again, I want to personally thank each and every one of our customers for trusting our team with all of your vehicle repairs. Let someone you trust do the job right. KemnaCollision.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Kemna Collision Repair.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
He's the voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. Joining us this morning from St. Louis, John Rooney. John, the Cardinals enter today number one in the Central Division.
That they do, Kevin. Good to be with you. Last night wasn't that much fun with the Cubs, but we're going to see a few of those through the course of the season. But let's throw that one away and see what happens behind Miles Michaelis tonight.
Boy, it didn't start well. First pitch went out of the ballpark last night, and then they had an 8-run eighth inning for the Cubs.
Well, the Cubs turned it on because the Cardinals helped them out a lot. A rare error for Nolan Arenado helped figure in the inning. And then the middle inning pitching by the Cardinals not that long ago just had trouble throwing strikes, and that's mushroomed into a problem that got late into a ball game. The fact that Tyler Webb just hasn't had a very good run here lately. He got up to a decent start, but just hasn't been able to locate his pitches very well. And I think we can say the same at times for Helsley. And with Jordan Hicks going on the injured list, and he's on the 60-day list now, he won't be back for a while. So people are having to step up into that role as you get later into the ball game. And at some point, they're going to have to throw some strikes, or there will be some big innings, and the Cubs turned that inning into a huge 8-run frame.
You know, John, we're going to step inside the Cardinal numbers in just a moment. I wanted to kind of talk to you from the standpoint as an announcer for a Major League Baseball team. How has it been for you personally navigating through the pandemic?
Well, it's something that we have a pretty good setup for our road games with two big 80-inch monitors, and we're only able to tell our fans. And the director does a pretty good job at the site. And sometimes we see things in a game we need to see. Sometimes we don't. Mm-hmm. And you just try to make the best of it and try to act like you're there in the ballpark and make that work. And then to have the games at home where you can actually see them in front of you. And it was so great to have more fans in the ballpark. We had over 24,000 tickets sold last night. And I think we'll have even more tonight and pretty soon to have the ability to get back to full capacity. And people are going to get out and enjoy the weather that we've had. It was a nice night weather-wise and very active downtown, but just great to hear the crowd noise. That was the tough part of it, all the canned crowd noise last year. And I think we're seeing some of the effects of a shortened season, as the Cardinals only had 58 games and then three games in the playoffs. And your young pitching just can't develop the way it can if you have a minor league season, something we didn't have last year. Mm-hmm. And I think some of the control issues, and we've seen too many people hit with high inside pitches on the head and the face, and we've seen control issues with the Cardinals. And I think some of that may be traced to the fact it was a short season last year, and for some young pitchers, very little or no season at all.
Wanted to ask you this question, get your thoughts on this. Already six no-hitters this year, about 45 to 48 games into the season. I think the record for an entire season is seven no-hitters. Are the pitchers that good? Are the hitters struggling? Or is it a situation where everybody's trying to hit a home run or strike out?
Well, we do have the results. I got a stat the other day, and if I'm correct on this, it's the hits, walks, and strikeouts, and hit by pitch are at about a 40% level in the minor leagues, or higher, a little bit higher. And at the major league level, it's about 34%, which to me seems too high. 34% of the ball game ends in that kind of result. I think they're getting some pretty good defensive plays from highlights that I've seen, too. Mm-hmm. They're making plays behind those pitchers, and it's adding up to six no-hitters, and you have seven if you want to count that seven-inning job by Madison Bumgarner, but you have to pitch nine to get a no-hitter, and that was the rule they put in years ago. Andy Hawkins threw a no-hitter and only pitched eight innings at Old Comiskey Park in Chicago, and he lost, as Jim Leyritz committed a couple of errors for the Yankees that led to runs, and the White Sox beat them. That was listed as a no-hitter for a while, then that was taken away. But they're making plays, and hitters, I don't know if they're gripping the bat too tightly or what, but We have six of them, and who knows, there may be one coming up here later today, Kevin.
You're going to get some help as far as the rotation is concerned, a couple of pitchers coming back.
Well, yesterday it was a pretty good game for Martinez, but Carlos gave up the home run. He grooved a fastball, 91 miles an hour, right down the middle. And Peterson has been hitting the ball well lately. He struggled last year during the regular season, the shortened season for the Dodgers, but then he hit almost 400 in the postseason and helped them win. And he's helping the Cubs win right now, as they've won six of the last 10, and they pulled within two games of the Cardinals. But Martinez settled in after that and gave up just one more run and had a quality start. But the bullpen is going to have to find a way, other than guys who have been coming in late. Even Reyes has struggled some with his command, but seems like when he doesn't get his fastball over well, his slider has been a terrific pitch, and he has a very good changeup. That has helped him where he's perfect and save opportunities. And Cabrera has looked pretty good, and so has Giovanni Gallegos. But the others need to throw strikes.
Well, you take a look at the starting rotation, and Jack Flaherty has just had an outstanding start to the season, as has John Gant.
John Gant, and he's had his command issues, Kevin, where his walks are way too high. But he has been one to navigate having base runners so well. That's why he's so valuable out of the bullpen. But the need for a starter with Kim starting out with a poor back in spring training and wasn't able to go immediately, and then with Michaelis unable to pitch since 2019, they needed help in the rotation, and one of the choices was John Gant. But Gant seems to pitch as well as anybody I've ever seen with men on base, and he has put plenty of them on, yet has kept a terrific ERA and keeps his team in the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a very valuable pitcher to this club, whether he's in the rotation or pitching out of the bullpen. But he's stretched out to where he can start some games, and we're in a stretch of games right now, 17 in a row without a day off, and then it's like 19 out of 20 in that stretch. So just one day off over the next basically 3 weeks. And you're going to need a pretty strong pitching staff to go through the likes of the Dodgers are on that list in that group. So are the Chicago White Sox, who have played very well under Tony La Russa. So John Gant's a very valuable piece to the Cardinal pitching staff, no question.
Jack Flaherty, I think 8-0 in his first nine starts, an ERA of 2.53. He's the second pitcher in Cardinals history to go 8-0 in his first nine starts. The other one to do it, Bob Gibson, back in 1965.
And Kevin, he's getting run support. He's getting a lot of run support, and that's something he didn't get when you go back to his great run in 2019, where he had as good a second half as any pitcher you could see. He's getting run support now, and he's really cashing in on it. He got run support opening day, a 6-run first inning, and wasn't involved in the decision. And I think that's when he was so upset by that he dedicated himself to getting back to where he was in that form back in 2019. And so far he's done it, but his teammates have helped him, and it's been a nice combination. But Flaherty is the ace of the staff. Adam Wainwright has had some really good moments, and he got up to not a very good start with his record simply because he didn't get much support. And he's had a couple of games like the one in San Diego where I think Adam fell into the trap where he wasn't trying to walk batters instead of making pitch by pitch. And that's the way Adam has pitched his entire career. And he said that's a trap you can fall into when the staff was struggling to throw strikes out there. And wouldn't you know it, the Cardinals got San Diego hot, as the Padres haven't lost in a week, and they're tied for first with San Francisco in their division.
John, you mentioned it just a few moments ago. Walks have been an issue for Cardinal pitching, but since mid-April, the Cardinals have a staff ERA of 2.72, which I believe is best in the majors.
Yeah, they've been able to navigate, for the most part, and stay in ball games with high traffic on the bases, but not in the eighth inning last night, where the Cubs scored eight times and just put the game away. Well, it was a tightly played game going back and forth, and when the Cardinals pulled within a run, I thought, all right, if they can get past the eighth inning, then there's a good shot to come back and take this game from the Cubs. But they could not get past that inning because of an error and some walks. And and then the Cubs just poured it on. And when pitchers fall behind, Kevin, they're going to make mistakes trying to throw strikes if they keep falling behind and walking batters. And we've seen that happen, but the Cardinals haven't given up too many big innings like last night. Let's hope they don't.
Tell me about Nolan Arenado.
Well, Arenado is the real deal. I think he tried to do a little bit too much on a ground ball hit to him in front of the bag last night, where he was trying to take the ball, grab it, go to third, step on third, and get a double play. But he didn't get a good grip on the ball, and that kind of opened the gates for the Cubs to have a big inning. And when a pitching staff is struggling and trying not to walk batters or whatever the case may be, when the command issues are getting to the point for some of the pitchers on the staff, and I feel for them, Kevin. I could just see the frustration on a close-up shot they had of Tyler Webb when he came out of the game. He can't figure this out, and he has been a valuable pitcher for the Cardinals. Helsley has looked pretty good, and what I've seen of Seth Elledge, that's a big arm right there, and the command issues really haven't been a huge problem for him in his professional career, but last year, that career was limited, like it was for so many people, going back and forth from the alternate training site to the Cardinals, and we've seen that throughout baseball, I really believe. That's still a problem that may be worked out where we get a little deeper into the season and things get back to normal as far as a full 162-game schedule. But, man, just can't give away that many bases and errors, but Arenado, he is a gold glover, a platinum glover at third base. He is a professional hitter. And this guy, he likes to play baseball, play baseball, play baseball. And when he's done, he wants to go out there and play some more. Mm. That's how much he loves the game. And when you combine that effort with that of Goldschmidt at first base, they're cornerstones. And they're going to make more plays than they make misplays, no question. You don't win gold gloves by making too many mistakes, or platinum gloves. And Yachty last night had a throwing error. That's very rare for a platinum glove catcher, and Yachty has just been terrific. He looks like he did 10 years ago, the way he's playing the game right now. And he spent a little time on the injured list as he hurt a foot going into second on a double. But, boy, he's come back, and he handles the pitching staff as well as anybody I've ever seen. And when you have that kind of experience and that much hardware on the infield, that's going to help a pitching staff in the long run.
44 games into the season, what do you like most about the Cardinals?
Well, I like the fact that they have some balance in their lineup. They couldn't just get the big hit to overcome the Cubs last night. And there are going to be games that just happens. And I think Kyle Hendricks had a little something to do with that after he got off to his poor start. He's pitching a little bit better than he had been the month of April for the Cubs, but I like the fact that Carlson hitting second has been a pretty good boost. Tommy Edman is a really good baseball player, and to have him at the top of the lineup, he'll give you a good at-bat. For a leadoff guy, he might not walk as much or take as many pitches as you would like from a typical leadoff batter, but I like the way he battles pitch by pitch and gives the Cardinal lineup a chance to have a base runner on, and Carlson does too out of the number two spot. Then you get to the big hitters and Goldschmidt and Arenado and Yadier Molina hitting fifth. And remember, Paul DeJong is on the injured list, but I have to say his replacement in the short term, three-hit game last night for Edmundo Sosa. Sosa handles the ball well in the middle infield, doesn't hurt you defensively at all. But DeJong will be coming back, I think, here pretty soon, and that's another bat that can pop one at any time. And Harrison Bader has been a big addition since he finally got his season started, having arm issues that cut his spring training short. He's played really well, and he rounds out the outfield. And Tyler O'Neill should be back before too long, as he has an injured finger he hurt while stealing a base on the road trip. But when you have O'Neill, Bader, and Carlson in the outfield, they cover ground, and that helps the pitching staff a whole lot. But I think having that balance in the lineup when Carlson went to number two and Harrison Bader came back in the bottom of the lineup, that's when the Cardinals took off and put themselves in first place, a two-game lead over the Cubs, and four over Milwaukee, 4.5 over Cincinnati, and the Pirates are 7 games out, and the Cardinals have been beating the Pirates like they should. The Pirates are last-place team, and rebuilding team. The Cardinals need to win those games, and so far they have. But they need to play so well to win the division, and they'll come back tonight, and we'll see what they can do against the Cubs with a two-game lead.
John, always great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being with us, and have a great weekend.
All right, Kevin, good to talk to you as well. Take care.
You too. Thanks, John. He's the voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, John Rooney, back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
A colony of termites. They make it sound so nice, don't they? A colony. Well, it's not nice. It's the vanguard of a precision operation that could involve up to as many as a million termites in your backyard. That's more termites than people in the Uzbekistan Army. Think about that. The Uzbekistan Army underground in your backyard, and they want to eat your house. Now, you can either call the National Guard, but they're busy, or call your friend Steve.
I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control. Our Centricon system for termites doesn't just get them out of your house. It kills the entire colony dead. Plus, we give a $250,000 termite damage warranty protecting your home. We're going to solve your pest problem. I guarantee it.
From the tenacious termites to the rascally rodents, call Steve's Pest Control. Online at stevespestcontrol.com.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business. Steve's Pest Control.
It's just human nature to love shiny things. As long as there have been people, shiny things have held special status, and the shinier the better. Like a brand new car or truck on the lot, every inch of it perfectly contoured, clean, and reflective. Over time, as that beautiful new car starts to collect dents, scratches, and loses its shine, you can always get it cleaned and polished again, just like a piece of jewelry. But when your car gets banged up in an accident, getting that shine back becomes the least of your worries. This is Gary with Extreme Body and Paint. Whether your car has minor or major damage you want fixed, not only do we fix it right and make the process easy and stress-free as possible, nobody makes your car look newer and shine brighter than the Extreme team at Extreme Body and Paint. We are now located under one roof at 1007 Lomo Drive, Jefferson City, Missouri, or online at extremebodyandpaint.com.
We make it shine like new. Extreme Body and Paint.
2021. Mid-Missourians are in misery, fearing that spring will bring high winds, wreaking havoc on roof systems, shingles, and siding. Somewhere beyond the blustery barrier of Brigadier Blowhard...
I am Brigadier Blowhard. The Gray Panther and his little roofing systems are no match for my exhilarating exhale.
Who can help keep our shingles from straying? Wait a minute. A silver streak is shooting across the sky. It's the Gray Panther! Safeguarding shingles and restoring roof systems backed by bulletproof warranties. Rooftops rejoice! Citizens celebrate! The Gray Panther has bested Brigadier Blowhard again!
This is Greg A. Hodges, a.k.a. the Gray Panther. If the bad weather compromises your roof system, send me a signal at HodgesMo.com. I'll secure your roof so you stay safe and dry.
Hodges Roofing and Siding, home of the Gray Panther since 1976. HodgesMo.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
David Fox, Executive Director of the Show Me State Games, joins us now on the Coaches Show. David, a recent Show Me State Games Facebook page post says we're back.
Absolutely. Hey, good morning, Kevin. It's great to talk with you today. And we are back and super excited to be back, my friend.
David, navigating through the pandemic, how has it been for the Show Me State Games?
Yeah, I think it's been similar to a lot of places, Kevin. 2020 and some of 2021 have been very difficult, and I don't think our team has had any exceptions with that. One thing really proud about our group is we knew that the most important thing for us during the shutdown was staying engaged with our athletes, continuing to spread our mission of health, fitness, family, and fun. We did that through some virtual events. We stayed in contact with our folks and tried to create some other opportunities that during a normal year they might have to stay engaged. And I think we've done that. And allowing our brand to stay active and live has been significant for our partners as well. And here we are, 14 months after the shutdown, and talking about a full slate of events starting here in 2 weeks.
So it was a situation where you were trying to move forward as best you possibly could.
Oh, there's no question. Yeah. And, you know, we knew about this time last year, having indoor events just wasn't going to happen. And there were some opportunities to host some of our outdoor events. And, you know, it becomes risk-reward, Kevin. And, you know, most of our events are in Boone County. And, you know, some of the restrictions there were a little different than other places throughout the state of Missouri. And, you know, making sure that we're consistent and also have the ability to enforce different guidelines, what have you, is really important. And we saw we couldn't get that done last year. But, you know, we'll tell you, since January 1st, we've hosted 6 events. Done a great job with the protocol, and Kevin, as you know, there's nothing more important than the safety and well-being of our athletes, our team, officials, spectators, and we've been very fortunate to have done that since January.
Yeah, you and I talk quite often. You've been very busy, haven't you?
It's a great busy, you know, to be honest with you. And you know, when we kind of look at things and we talk with our staff, you know, we're about a month behind in a lot of things, and a lot of that is, you know, as I mentioned, a lot of our events are in Boone County. We just kind of opened up a couple of weeks ago. And so it's really hard when, you know, Kevin, we don't own any facilities. We've got amazing partners, not only in Boone County, but across the state. You know, we have to be able to secure facilities, and that's just been very difficult to do. Just here in the last 10 days, we're starting to have some facilities open up for us. And that's why we're, you know, heading full steam ahead, and we're super excited about the return to play.
Want to make sure we get the schedule out to everyone. June 10th through the 13th, Missouri Show Me Senior Games. That's for participants age 50 and older. July 16th through the 18th, Show Me State Games Week 1. And then July 23rd through the 25th, Show Me State Games Week 2. David, the Summer Olympics this year, so this is all going to be pretty special, isn't it?
It is, and we're, you know, that's it's one of those years that, you know, the games are part of a National Congress of State Games. We do have a direct link to the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee, and so, yeah, and you're going to see some marketing coming out here pretty quick. And, you know, Kevin, the games are the only Olympic-style sports festival of its kind in Missouri, mm-hmm. And the Olympics this summer, it kind of adds to that atmosphere and excitement for the games.
Largest state games in the nation all started back in the mid-'80s, didn't it?
1985, you bet. And it's our 37th year, and really it's amazing to think it's been around that long. Of course, anytime I have a chance to do an interview and visiting with you, I always mention great friend Gary Filbert, who is you know, kind of the godfather of the Show Me State Games, followed by another fantastic coach and mentor, Ken Ash. And we've been around a long time and super excited about what's to come.
And David, look how it has grown from, I believe, 600 participants in 1985. You say on your website that over 32,000 athletes come to Columbia throughout the year to be a part of your events.
Yeah, on an average, Kevin, that is correct. Certainly, we didn't have 30,000 athletes last year, but, you know, it has grown. And what's really interesting in some of the adjustments our team has made in recent years, you know, the Show Me State Games is really the only statewide summer activity. But as you know, certainly in a lot of different sports tournaments, there are tournaments every weekend. It's diluted. And we've been able to add to our calendar. We still, there's no doubt, the last two weekends in July are our largest events by far. But we've added to our scheduled events throughout the year. And that's been something here as of late that's really allowed us to continue to grow.
David, if someone wants to be involved as far as an athlete is concerned in the Show Me State Games, or if they want to be a volunteer, or they want to be a corporate part of the corporate volunteer program, or be a game official, what do they need to do?
Yeah, all those great questions, Kevin. Appreciate that. Show Me State Games, smsg.org. All of those questions can be answered. It's very user-friendly. Anytime you have a question, you can always contact us at 573-882-2101. I will mention we're not able to do what we do without amazing partners, and part of those partners are volunteers. And, you know, our goal, not to fulfill our mission of promoting health, fitness, family, and fun, but retention is a big part of what we do. And we want people to have a first-class experience while they're in mid-Missouri and that they want to come back. And allowing that to happen, man, we need great partners, and part of that partnership is volunteers. And so I know we're doing a big push right now for volunteerism, smsg.org. We'd love to have you.
And you talked about it just a moment ago, but the corporate volunteer program as well.
Absolutely. We have a very active campaign we've had for years. If there are 12 folks from your business that would like to volunteer together, we put your name, your company's name, on the back of your volunteer shirt. Kind of gives you an opportunity, a little exposure, creating a great opportunity, maybe bonding, team working within your own business, and we have several of those as well.
Will you have a torch run this year, David?
Heading to Springfield Friday, Kevin.
Yep.
Appreciate you. You know, we talked a little bit about being behind, and we're going to hit 5 cities: Springfield, Kansas City, St. Joe, Cape Girardeau, St. Charles, and super excited. June 3rd, we'll be a part of throwing out the ceremonial first pitch for the Cardinals Cincinnati Reds. So we are, and we're in some major marketing right now. Kevin, I will, and I know we're getting close to the end of your great show. Really excited about registration. It's really solid, and it's one of the things we're really nervous if, you know, the return to play and if people are going to get reengaged, get back involved. And I know it could change tomorrow, but as I'm talking to you this morning, we're really encouraged with the numbers we're seeing.
David, thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it.
As always, thank you, Kevin.
Executive Director of the Show Me State Games, David Fox. Once again, your schedule, June 10th through the 13th, is the Missouri State Senior Games. July 16th through the 18th, the Show Me State Games, week number one. And then July 23rd through the 25th, that is Show Me State Games, week number two. And we'll see you next week on The Coach's Show.
News Radio 950, KWOS, and on FM at 104.5, KWOS.